here's a story from The World.
Law enforcement agencies in Minneapolis and across the U.S. are drawing down after a massive buildup. They plan for this week to go very differently after the jury announced its verdicts in the trial of former police officer Derek Chauvin. Advocates say that militarized response itself shows that the U.S. cannot solve its police brutality problems on its own. They say this country needs international oversight. The World's Rupa Shenoy reports.
The elected local county sheriff in Minneapolis, Dave Hutchinson, says the Chauvin verdict shows police are held accountable.
Nobody is above the law.
Hopefully now everyone can heal, he says. Officers are stressed and tired after a months-long effort called Operation Safety Net. It brought the National Guard and many state and local entities together to ensure public safety during the Chauvin trial. On Monday, before the verdict, faith leaders and community groups like the local NAACP stood behind Minneapolis Police Chief Madera Arredondo, who testified against Chauvin.
Operation Safety Net is not about arresting people. We want peaceful assembly. We want peaceful protests. We know that we have a city that is mourning, that they're in grief. The last thing we want to do is turn this into an enforcement situation.
But that's not how it felt to many residents who have seen downtown Minneapolis transformed by troops, razor wire, and barriers. Asma Mohammed is with RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment, in Minneapolis. It's one of 75 organizations that petitioned the governor to end Operation Safety Net.
It's a lot of different agencies and entities coming together to make this decision to say, police killed someone, let's bring in thousands more. Let's bring in so many that, you know, you can't even walk across the street without interacting with them. Like, that's terrifying that that's the response coming from our government.
She says it creates more opportunities for bad interactions between civilians and police. That's something the American Civil Liberties Union is worried about, too, for many reasons. The increase in hate crimes over the last few years, the raft of states considering laws that would restrict the right to protest, and the presence of white supremacists within law enforcement agencies, made apparent by the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Jamil Dakwar is director of the ACLU's Human Rights Program.
We continue to call for more investigation into the relationship between police departments and these white nationalist organizations and to what extent they contribute to police violence against particularly communities of color.
Operation Safety Net is ramping down now in Minneapolis, but its leaders say they're not sending everyone home in case something happens between now and August. That's when they'll mobilize again as three other officers involved in George Floyd's death go on trial. Many residents say the constant increased presence is triggering for local communities who've been living for months in an emotionally fraught atmosphere. There have been raw conversations with neighbors and bitter call-outs on social media, all while under an international spotlight. Traumatic memories have resurfaced for many African Americans. St. Paul resident Genesia Williams keeps remembering the first time she saw an officer kneel on someone's neck. The victim was a girl, a fellow student in school in Minneapolis.
I remember the sound when she hit the ground. And of course, she's screaming and crying, and she get off of me, leave me alone. And then all of a sudden, she was quiet.
Many of Minnesota's refugees fear police on multiple levels, from experiences in their home countries to post-9/11 FBI surveillance programs of Muslims. The other day, Minneapolis resident Yusuf Abdullah says he refused to stop when police tried to pull him over for a broken taillight.
I didn't actually run or go fast, but I didn't stop.
He put on his hazard lights and drove to a more populated area where he thought there would be cameras.
I was scared.
So the massive law enforcement presence for the Chauvin trial really freaked him out.
On the highways, going to work, going home, automated cars everywhere.
And all this happened during the holy month of Ramadan. Community leaders had mounted a vaccination drive so people could get together for the holiday. But then officials announced a curfew.
To start a curfew on the first night of Ramadan, I mean, ridiculous.
That's Asma Mohammed again from the group RISE. Officials made an exception for people going to mosques, but Mohammed says no one wanted to risk getting stopped by police.
One thing that I kept worrying about is that they would retaliate because they're like, one of our own is being, you know, finally punished. And I think that fear is very real. I believe it 100%.
The Department of Justice has announced an investigation into Minneapolis police, and President Biden is pursuing congressional action on police brutality. Despite all of that, Jamil Dakwar of the ACLU says the U.S. still needs to be accountable to a greater authority.
Without this process, without learning from other international examples, the United States will continue to make the same atrocities with no accountability whatsoever.
Dakwar says next month he and others will again ask the United Nations for an independent investigation into police brutality in the U.S. Last year, George Floyd's brother, Philonis, personally appealed to the U.N. for such an investigation. But the Trump administration lobbied to expand the probe so it wouldn't just focus on the U.S. Dakwar says if the Biden administration really supports change, it will welcome international oversight. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.